Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last night's Alamo Heights City Council meeting ran late into the night as residents debated what to do about an apartment complex that the developers wanted to build into that historic community. About 70 residents signed up to speak. Here's what one had to say about the plan.
My name is Caitlin Davidson. I am 24 years old, and I've lived here for 6 years now. I started going to college here at Incarnate Word, and I live at Brighton Square Condominiums, right where they're going to build the development. And I oppose it not just because it's going to be right in front of my house and a big monstrosity in front of me, but also because I don't see it making the area any safer. I don't understand how it can't add all this traffic to the Austin Highway and Broadway, because it's already very bad. And they're adding 200 cars or more there. So we're considering selling our condo because of this development. And I know we will if it goes forward. And I don't want to live anywhere else in San Antonio, so.
But there are also many voices in favor of that complex. Here's what Dwight Lieb had to say.
If you're sitting there at the traffic light, you are looking at a pile of junk. And we are supposed to be one of the finer residential neighborhoods. And you're looking at a pile of junk. We do have interest rates at historic lows. This presents an opportunity. Now, we need to seize that opportunity. If you let it go, it could well be 20 or 30 years before we have another such opportunity.
The issue of allowing high density development into Alamo Heights has deeply divided the community. Here's City Council member Bobby Rosenthal describing the different camps that have developed about this issue.
I think there's one that is pretty anti-growth. And I don't think there's anybody that's totally pro-growth at all cost. I think it is a neat little community, and we want to do something to keep it that way, but kind of bring it back to where the kids who are here tonight don't want to go to Southtown. They want to go to Midtown Alamo Heights because it's close to the Pearl and close to some of this activity on Lower Broadway.
This half hour, we're talking about the future of Alamo Heights and whether or not they will allow high-density development into their city. We're joined right now by Edmund Ortiz. He's a staff writer for the San Antonio Express News, and he's been covering the issue, and your story is on the front page today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Edmund, talk about this development that was proposed, and then tell me about how it was modified.
Well, developers began talking to the city in a very informal way over a year ago, and I believe it was just to kind of gauge interest in an informal way among council members and city staff, but it's never really become fully vetted through the regular processes of the boards and commissions and the council until very recently. But over the past year, the debate has already been raged. It's a grapevine kind of community. Once they start to hear of a multi-high-rise building right there in the central part.
You say high rise. It was a six stories, which of course is high rise for Alamo Heights, but it's a five story. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, it's, we're not talking about like the thing that they built on top of the old Earl Labels, you know, nothing like that.
Right. It's a mid rise, as the developers or as some folks, architects, would like to refer to it as. A multi-story complex, and it's a mixed-use complex. It's apartments, retail space with some green space, live-work units. They believed that this would be a great way to pull together the community in terms of empty nesters and young professionals who want to live in Alamo Heights and work and play there, and at the same time jumpstart the Broadway corridor, which developers see and a lot of longtime residents see as in decline. So they believe that this was probably the best use for that land, which right now it's a mix of private and public land, some dilapidated structures. No one lives there right now. But it's 1.66 acres. And
it's prime real estate.
It's prime real estate. It's right there in the middle of town. You can't miss it. But you can see critics who either live nearby, who do business nearby, and they say, this just doesn't fit with the community. This doesn't fit with our codes or our rules. And how can you make any kind of adjustments or concessions to fit in these folks, no matter what they promise and no matter what benefits they pledge to bring to the city?
So this was brought to the Alamo Heights Planning and Zoning Commission, mm-hmm. and then they shot it down, right?
They denied a special use permit.
Because they had to have all these variances because it was against some of the codes that Alamo Heights has already had about what you can and can't build there.
Yes, PNZ recommended a denial. and it was up to council to see if it would.
So they had they appealed, went to council, and then so last night, 70 people show up. Mm-hmm. They go into the deep into the PM talking about this, and then finally we get at the last minute a compromise that was approved. What is the compromise?
It's a modified special use permit that Bobby Rosenthal, the councilman that you just heard, he offered. Basically, it reduces it to 3 to 4 stories depending on the slope of the land on the total complex. It was previously 5 to 6 stories, and it went down to 146 units. And again, the developers have already made concessions to reduce this repeatedly just to appease those who are not supportive of the project. And there's some other restrictions that are being suggested there, but those are the two main ones to just further scale down the overall project. Bobby Rosenthal felt that this was a means to not so much compromise, but to reach the vision that is stated in the comprehensive plan. The developers have said many times, and their supporters, that this helps to really realize a part of that city's comprehensive plan that's been really sitting on the shelf for many years in terms of what happens to that land.
But is this one of those split-the-baby compromises where no one's happy?
It appears so. It's an even divide, and we were talking about, and we've been hearing so many observations from people that it's made strange bedfellows, politically speaking. I mean, you see folks who have been politically divided on everything else in Alamo Heights, but they've come together on this issue to either support the project or to be against it. You've heard folks last night who said they were against it before, but now they've been swayed by pledges by the developers. We can make concessions, that there will be benefits to the city and so forth. There won't be any major negative impacts, and they've been moved toward that.
So Bill Keel, you're a former city council member. You're a community advocate there. So join the conversation here. Tell me about why is this so hard? Why is it so difficult to build in Alamo Heights? What's the problem?
Well, we haven't built in a long time. So that's one problem. Another problem is that much of the land, the commercial land, is tied up in a very few number of owners. And so that's a whole other subject, but that's one of the problems.
But what are people afraid of? If you build an apartment complex, it's going to let the wrong people into Alamo Heights?
No. I think a lot of it does, in this particular project, come down to height. Remember, it started out at 85 feet. That was the maximum height, and it had 244 apartment units. That, of course, was a complete non-starter, and it marched its way down. One thing I want to clarify here. First off, the vote last night was not a vote to approve a project. It didn't have anything really to do about the project. People think it does, but it doesn't. It was approving a special use permit that was setting some zoning codes specifically for this project. This project is going to continue to have big hurdles to overcome, and
we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to take phone calls. Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you live in Alamo Heights, if you've got something to say about this, if you want no high rises, mid rises, low rises, no. We want Alamo Heights to say the same. If you're in Alamo Heights and you say, we need growth, we need development, we need to bring young people into our community, we want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Alamo Heights and a building there, developments, high-rise developments, high-density developments. What's the future of the city if they allow these to be built? Will it actually change what Alamo Heights is all about? We want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Let's go straight to the phones. Sarah has been standing by. Sarah, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I would like to refer to this statement that everybody's talking about fear of development. There's no fear of development here. It's called wisdom and following the comprehensive plan. And I'm tired of these teeny boppers in Southtown who talk about affordable housing, love of density, and the young professionals who want to live in Alamo Heights and can't. If they work real hard and save their money, maybe one of these days they could find affordable living in Alamo Heights. One other quick comment. The architect objected to our no high-rise signs five stories may not be a high rise according to their rules, but it certainly is to us. And 200 people with signs in their front yards are proof that we do consider it a high rise. Thank you very much.
Well, so Sarah, do you consider yourself anti-growth?
Of course not. But it has to be within our comprehensive plan.
Okay, so if you're a developer and you see the price tag for a piece of land in Alamo Heights and you say, the only way I can make this work is if I can somehow build up because land's so expensive here.
Well, if they want to finagle with our comprehensive plan and get something that will suit their economic feasibility studies, they need to go somewhere else.
All right, Sarah, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your comments.
Okay.
Let's get another caller in on this. Rob has joined the conversation. Rob, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. Much of the supposed justification for the project comes from the understanding that this is going to anchor new businesses in the area because much of their businesses have gone away. In fact, there have been new businesses in the area which have thrived. For instance, Local Coffee, which is not 200 feet away from the project, is thriving. There are a lot of businesses in the area doing very well. We don't need another business area business to anchor the project.
Okay, Rob, so let me ask Bill Keel about that. So I hear businesses are thriving in Alamo Heights then. This is...
No, I tend to agree with him. There are, they keep pointing to one or two others that have, that some people would prefer not be there. But
yeah, I keep hearing about this payday lender. People are outraged.
Yeah, I know, but there's Bird Bakery, there's the Local Coffee who's, I hear, going to put another coffee shop down at the Pearl. So I don't subscribe to the comments that have been made that that the whole downtown is just going to the dogs. I do think that I do agree with Sarah, and I know Sarah very well, and she is not anti-growth, and she's not anti-development. I mean, her main point, and it's my point as well, that we need to get on with putting the vision of our comprehensive plan into our code. We could have avoided this if that had happened some years ago. I was on the council when we approved that. It's been frustrating for the last 4 years to not see anything happen. I think the council will get serious about it. This particular project, the problem with this project was it was done backwards. They were seeking changes to the code rather than coming in and with the actual project, having the project approved and then arranging to buy the land, and then you change the codes. That's the way it should go.
All right, well, let's find out. We've got Rick Archer here on the line. He's the architect and one of the partners with the Overland, the guys who wanted to do this development. So, Rick, are you happy with how things are working out here?
Well, I don't know that anybody was happy with how things worked out last night. I think the real question at this point is whether the project is even viable under the new parameters of this SUP. And I think I would agree with Bill that it really is about finding a way to get a project that you get an agreement between the developer and the city, and then everybody works together to get the proper zoning. I think there was a flawed process in that the city asked us to go through this SUP process or this way of getting approval rather than allowing us to have a way to sit down at the table with the council and others to craft something that would work for the benefit of all. Once we got into this public process, we were forbidden from meeting with the council. And so it's a little bit like having a public-private partnership where you can't meet with your partner. And I think that put everyone at a disadvantage.
So the comprehensive plan has not been codified. That has not been.
No.
So had it been codified, that would that have made this easier?
Yes, it would have made it easier.
So let me get Rick, tell me what you think.
Yeah, well, I would agree with Bill's assessment. The comprehensive plan, had it been codified, would have given everyone a clear path forward. So the developers would have come in, architects, we would have come in saying, oh, this is what the city is imagining. Instead, we were left to use the comprehensive plan as a guide, which we did extensively. When we digested it, we absorbed it, we presented something which we thought was very much in the spirit of the comprehensive plan. But without it being codified, it's left up to opinion, basically.
So why not codify the plan there?
Well, that's the recommendation, and I think they will. I think they'll act on it. This has not been a fun process for anybody. I wrote an article last week, and I called it water torture, and that's what I mean. What happened last night is something I support because it really was the first step to actually put something in our codes that was aligned with the comprehensive plan with respect to height. So that's a first step. But even I was deflated about it because it's going to continue, and that's unfortunate. But I think it would have been worse for our city if they had done an outright rejection of it. I think it would have sent the wrong message. I don't think the community is anti-development. I think we're sort of stumbling around to try to find a way to move forward. And the answer is we got to fix the codes.
Rick, are you optimistic that something is going to be built there?
That's a good question. What I would say is that Alamo Manhattan, a developer, really loved the city. They love San Antonio. They've really fallen in love with City of Alamo Heights, and I know that they would really like to do a project in Alamo Heights. Whether the economics work or not remains to be seen. We haven't even gotten yet a copy of the approved SUP, and frankly, I had a hard time hearing last night exactly what was in it. And so anything I would say about whether or not it could work or not at this point would be conjecture, other than the fact that I know that Matt and Wade and their group at Alamo Manhattan would love to figure out how to do a project here. But it's going to require cooperation from the city. We can't continue in an adversarial relationship because we want to do something good for the city. We want to do something great for the city. And we need to have the city at the table in those conversations.
Okay, Rick, thank you so much. Appreciate those comments. Let's get another caller on the air. Adrian has called in. Adrian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Great that people want to do something beautiful for the community and all that, but I want to know, there's a plethora of condos up and down Broadway, and the Broadway at the corner of Hildebrand and Broadway has not been successful, and I wonder if all the condos around the Pearl, how they're inhabited, have they sold out? So will they come more north on Broadway to reside in these condos? Why these condos compared to the Broadway and the ones by the Pearl?
Rick, can you answer?
It has the 78209 zip code.
Well, that's the big zip code there. Rick, can you answer that?
Sure. Big difference is that the Broadway is a condominium project, and the others that you cited are actually apartments. And those apartments have all reached stability. They're about 95% full. So they've been extremely successful. I think they've actually exceeded expectations. The same is true at Artesa, which recently opened in the Quarry. Those projects are all stabilizing at between 93 and 95% occupancy. And so there's a very strong and healthy market for apartments. There is not a strong and healthy market for condos right now.
Let me ask you, Bill, former city council member, Alamo Heights, about these challenges that face Alamo Heights. I mean, without growth, why is that a problem? I understand there's some infrastructure that needs to be upgraded and other issues that the tax base isn't keeping up with the needs for the city. Is that right?
No, I don't agree with that. I think the tax base does increase about a couple of percent a year just through renovations and remodels and some new homes that are being built. There's a substantial amount of infill development that's going on, but it's residential. And there's no doubt that I think we could benefit from some good commercial and even some larger scale multifamily redevelopment. But it's got to be guided properly. And
okay, I'm going to get another caller on. One last caller. We have time for Pat. Pat, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My comment is all these new complexes, they're so expensive, and all they do is raise property taxes for those of us that have lived in this community forever. I'm not even in Alamo Heights, but my zip code is still 78209. Every year I have to go downtown and fight the raise of my taxes because some developer from out of town comes over, makes his properties and sells them at very exorbitant prices.
All right, Pat, thanks for that call. So he's been impacted through, you know, the increase in value in the land, and that's driving up his property taxes. And I guess he's wondering if the development would do that also.
Well, I think that's a valid point. In fact, you see that in the residential area. It's one of the reasons that some people have complained at what they call McMansions. I heard another former colleague of mine call this the commercial version of the McMansion. So, you know, it's a valid point.
All right. So, Bill Keel, sounds like, you know, more people need to talk to each other, figure out what you want, where the future needs to be
right,
for Alamo Heights. Thanks for coming up and joining us on The Source.
Thank you.
Also, we've had Edmund Ortiz, staff writer for the Central Express News. Thanks for joining us.
Glad I could be here.
This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.